If one more person tried to tell me that everything happened for a reason, I swore I would scream. Because in what world would I choose to be broke, single and homeless after winning one of the biggest drag shows in the world? The answer was none. There was no universe in which I'd prefer dragging whatever was left of my worldly possessions back into my childhood bedroom and flopping down onto my old squeaky, saggy single bed over living in my cosy London flat and selling out club tours up and down the UK. Unfortunately, that was the hell I was living in, and I was still adjusting to the fact I'd ended up here. I groaned as I reached for one of the nearby pillows and pulled it over my face, muffling my frustrated scream. At least I had somewhere to come back to. That was what I kept telling myself. At least Mum hadn't been against me moving back in. In fact, she'd been delighted, and I'd added a new dimension to my guilt and self-loathing when I'd realised I'd barely seen her since I'd moved to London 4 years ago. I could add being a terrible son to the long list of my other failures. A hollow chuckle slipped from my lips as I wondered what my fans would think if they knew the truth. Barbie Summers, the UK's hottest drag superstar, was a broke-ass, whiny bitch. And sure, I had about 20 grand's worth of drag to my name, but I couldn't exactly use that to put a deposit down on a flat. I'd considered selling some of it, but so far I'd held off because there was no way to sell things quietly without some fan or other getting wind of it and plastering it all over social media. And while I could say I was clearing out my wardrobe to make space for new looks, I couldn't sell half my outfits because they technically were owned by drag stars and therefore nobody else could ever wear them. Plus, if I said I was making room for new shit, people would expect to see new shit, and that wasn't happening. It had been made painfully obvious to everyone who'd watched my season of Dragstars UK that I couldn't sew beyond a basic running stitch, so I wouldn't be magically conjuring up couture drag looks anytime soon, especially not on my budget. Knock, knock. Anthony. The knocks on the bedroom doorframe were accompanied by Mum's warm voice, and I pulled the pillow off my face and hugged it to my chest before I responded. Yeah? Can I come in? Yeah, I said, hauling myself into a sitting position as the bed squeaked again. If you can get in. The room was full of black bin bags, old cardboard boxes I'd scavenged from the Tesco Express down the road from my old flat, a couple of cheap plastic tubs I'd picked up from a bargain store a couple of years ago that were now held together with duct tape, and two battered suitcases. At some point, I'd have to unpack everything, but that was a problem for another day, or when I actually needed something that wasn't resting on top of a box or bag. The door was shoved open, catching slightly on the threadbare carpet, and Mum's face appeared around it. Her dark blonde hair was scraped back into a messy bun, and she looked more tired than I remembered. I knew she'd said work had been more stressful lately due to the local council's hiring freeze and budget cuts, but I wondered if it was more than that. I'd hate to think I was the reason she looked so exhausted. Come on, Anthony, not everything revolves around you. Ah, the old adage of my ex-boyfriend. It was like being haunted by the ghost of Douchebag's past. What on earth I'd ever seen in him was a mystery I'd never solve, and why I'd gone back to him time and time again was another. This time would probably be permanent, though, especially since he couldn't use me to get anything. Who knew that losing everything was the fastest way to get rid of leeches? Is he still soaking? Another voice called over Mum's shoulder. It was bolder and brighter, and just the sound of it made me smile. I'm not soaking. Piss off, Maddie, I said as Mum forced the door further open, shoving one of my boxes of shoes against the wall, which was still the pale lavender I'd painted at 15. She slid through the door and looked around at the chaos, her expression saying everything her mouth wasn't. You retreated to your room and, oh, for goodness sake, you're hugging a pillow. Could you be any more overdramatic? Asked Maddie, my best friend in the entire world, as she stepped into the room alongside Mum, brushing her black cherry hair out of her face and looking around with disapproval. Maddie did not like mess, and I doubted she approved of me wallowing in self-pity when I could have been unpacking, but surely I deserved a little bit of time to wallow in my misery first.